Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Project 4-4. I'm Mark Ashton, lead pastor of Christ Community Church, and I got to give some credit to where credit's due. My assistant, Lori Eccleston, does a ton of work for these videos, and she deserves some props. And then there was this guy named John Soper, who was the original developer of much of the content that you hear. And we love John, and I want to say thanks, John, for letting us use these resources for free on the internet. Well, Nehemiah chapter 4 through 6 is what we're tackling for October 9th, and chapter 4, verse 9 is one of these classic verses where he says, "But we prayed and posted a guard day and night." You're recognizing a pattern in Nehemiah's life that he prays and he acts. He realizes that it takes both fervent prayer and huge activism in order to accomplish great tasks. Christians oftentimes make the mistake on one side of the spectrum or the other. Either they're so passive that they say, well, let's just pray about it and see what the Lord will do. But for us, we will eat our tea and crumpets here in this section of our lifetime and not act on anything. Or at the other end, you've got the people who are like, we are way too busy to pray, we got to be moving forward and do whatever we can, but let's not waste our time on something silly like prayer. The great leaders of the Bible did what Nehemiah did. He posted a guard and he prayed. He posted a guard and he prayed. He was an activist and he was fervent in what he was doing. And he was fervent in his prayer life. That's maybe why I like Nehemiah so much. It's kind of wired the same way. I'm fervent in my prayer life, but I also love to act on things and wait to see things happen. So Nehemiah strikes this balance well. It's a lot like the New Testament, where we oftentimes have the injunction to watch and pray. It's doing both things, not one or the other, but watching and praying at the same time. Well, the other thing we learn about leadership from Nehemiah in this passage is he knew how to deal with opposition. You've got these two guys, Sanballat and Tobiah. They have bad guy names even, don't they? You know, Sanballat and Tobiah. They're like the guys on a line of a football team. You know, go Sanballat, Tobiah, hit those guys, hit them harder. Well, Sanballat and Tobiah send a number of taunts and anti-greetings to Nehemiah. Sometimes they invite him to come off the wall and go out and negotiate with them. But Nehemiah is never put off by these guys. He's never intimidated. He never backs down. And when they invite him to come and hang out with them, I love his response at one point, his classic response, where he says, I'm carrying on a great work and I can't go down. Guys, are you carrying on a great work for God? Then don't get distracted by dudes like Sanballat and Tobiah. One of the things you can take comfort in this great statement of Nehemiah is that everyone has a suggestion for your life, everyone has an agenda, but you do not have to buy into everybody else's agenda. If you know that God has called you to a great work, then stay on the wall and don't get down for anyone. But much more insidious than the external opposition in these passages is the internal opposition. The people got tired. And when you add threats and skepticism to fatigue, you get complaining. Sometimes rank-and-file workers only see the problem that's ahead of them and not the preferred future, not the vision realized. They slow down. Nehemiah encourages them with the idea of security and God's blessing. He keeps them focused on this single task that is both urgent and important and will make a difference in their lives and for the rest of the time of their city. The degree to which Nehemiah was focused is evident from the job that was completed. You know, he got that wall built in 52 days. That's an amazing accomplishment given the time frame and the manpower that he had. Given the importance which Nehemiah attached to this task, it comes as a surprise that right in the midst of 52 days, Nehemiah stopped the work to call for a general assembly to address the issue of economic reform. Did you notice that there's this issue of injustice and charging usury and taking advantage of fellow Jews by charging exorbitant interest rates? It was causing tremendous hardship among many of the Jewish people. Some had sacrificed their lands and homes to the rich moneylenders, and some had resorted to selling their children into slavery in order to ensure their survival. The terrible injustice became known to Nehemiah in the context of the building process, and he said, "Stop the work, guys. There is something that's more urgent than the work going on right now." And he put an end to the practice of usury. The practice of lending money at an interest rate and holding collateral against the possibility of default, Well, that may be at the heart of what you and I call capitalism, but it's not the practice. It's not a practice that gets much in the way of approval in the scripture. The idea of investment and interest on money invested is not in itself an idea that's unbiblical. However, when you add to that unfair rates of interest, and when the lender has the borrower at a deep disadvantage, and when you begin to steal their livelihood and even their children, well, it crosses a line of being absolutely unthinkable. As Christians, it's important for us to carefully think through this issue and where we might draw the lines. If a fellow believer is in trouble and asks for a loan, there's a great deal in Scripture that discourages you from giving a loan for which you hold precious collateral and charge high interest. I'd encourage you to consider giving a gift, freely given, rather than a contract that could make for a great deal of trouble in the case of default. Well, Nehemiah's concern for justice carried over into every part of his life and administration. As the governor of Jerusalem, he was entitled to certain perks. He put away a long-standing practice which required the people to provide food and wine worth 40 shekels of silver as his personal daily allotment. He chose not to exercise this right. God's choice servants sometimes will lay aside their rights in order to be a better servant to the people of God. This is the kind of leader that Nehemiah was. Nobody could ever accuse him of dipping into the pot or taking advantage of the people. Well, Nehemiah is a great example of what leaders do. Leaders press through opposition. Leaders motivate people. Leaders mitigate internal conflict. Leaders love getting things done. They stand up to bullies in their own community. They stand up to bullies outside of their community. They do it for the common good and not for personal gain. This is what Nehemiah is like. And I pray that God raises up a whole new generation of leaders in our generation that are like Nehemiah, myself included. May God give us grace to accomplish his purposes.